We come from the net.
Through podcasts.
Through headphones.
Through speakers.
To this place.
Your ears.
Our format? Podcasters.
To watch and review.
To watch the show reboot.
Its episodes, old and new.
To defend you from your boredom.
Some say the listeners live outside the net and listen to podcasts for fun.
No one knows for sure, but we're gonna podcast anyway.
Welcome to Mainframe.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Welcome to Mainframe, a podcast about Reboot, the animated series. I am Evan David, and I'm here with my co-host,
John Mitchell.
And we're here to talk about Reboot Episode 3, The Quick and the Fed.
It was a pretty quick episode.
What? What?
But
so do you like it?
Yeah. Well, like it went by pretty fast, but I don't want to spoil anything further
in the
episode.
Quick.
Yeah. So
and the Fed.
Was it there actually any time difference on that?
Or no,
was it actually the same?
I think it was longer, maybe. It was like 24 minutes. Usually it's 22 minutes, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Crazy. So
okay.
Yeah, obviously, well, maybe not so obviously, it's a reference to the movie The Quick and the Dead.
Oh.
Which is a Western.
Never seen it.
This movie had nothing to do with Westerns.
Nope.
But, yeah, okay, so let's get into it here. I have my notes here in my pocket so I can go over exactly what happened in the movie.
Yeah, it starts off with a bang with Megabyte going for almost, it looked like the Tesseract portal opening in Avengers 1.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, okay, before we move on to do this, if you're brand new to the show, we're going to spoil everything. We're going to go through, we're going to talk about plot characters and all that. If you'd like to follow along with us in the show and not be spoiled, you can check it out on iTunes, and you can also check it out on ShoutFactoryTV.com for free! Legally for free.
Legally for free.
So, do that. It's Reboot Episode 3. Okay, yes, yeah, so, you're right. It does kind of remind me of the Tesseract opening, because Megabyte has a giant magnet machine, which he's using to point at this guy and open up a tear in reality or the network or something, and he's going to try to use this to get to the supercomputer.
Yep.
Which he wants to do so he can get the arsenal and or whatever, the armory, and become more powerful than ever before. And so, I don't know if you know much, you're an IT guy.
Yeah, in training.
Right. So I don't know if you guys know much about computers, but magnets...
Not good.
...are bad news for computers. If you have a magnet and you... I don't know how exposed a computer needs to be. Basically, if the magnet comes into contact with the certain bits of your computer that are important...
It's gone.
It's gone. Yeah, it will erase everything.
Yep.
It will totally erase everything. So I don't know if this is a real magnet, like a physical real-world magnet that Megabyte has, or if it's just something that represents a magnet.
Yeah, because a magnet inside of a computer would just destroy the computer.
Well, later Megabyte says if Bob gets within 10 bits of the magnet, he will be erased.
Right.
So I don't know what that means. So so it's a giant, he's got a giant magnet that is being powered by a little tiny magnet.
Right.
So I'm guessing it's not real magnets, but something that represents them or does the same effect.
Right.
Anyway, it's not important. So he's opening the thing, he's opening up the portal, and he's got a pet Null in this episode.
Yeah, it was so random.
Well, and it's like a James Bond villain, right? Because the famous James Bond villain, he's got the cat, he's stroking it, you know. Okay. And Megabyte's doing that same thing, except he's squeezing the life out of the Null, and the Null is changing colors.
Yep. All the power.
Right there. And so then Bob shows up, and he's like, hey, I'm going to destroy your magnet. So then he goes up there to try to do that, and Megabyte sends his, what do you call it?
His goons,
his infected binomes, up to go get Bob, and they're all on hoverboards. And Bob takes them out by flying down and just grabbing all their hoverboards.
Okay, I didn't even catch what happened. It just, like, he beat them. I'm like, oh, like, okay.
Yeah, so they're flying upward, and he flies up ahead of them and then turns around, comes back down.
Yeah.
And scoops up all their hoverboards in his hand as he's flying down, and they all go plummeting down back to the ground.
That makes more sense. I had no idea what happened there.
So all of Megabyte's goons are taken out, so Megabyte has got to get into this game personally.
Which apparently he can't because he doesn't have his legs yet.
Yes, he doesn't have legs. So he is. So apparently Megabyte, he doesn't have legs all the time because he's in his giant Professor Charles Xavier hover chair thing.
Yeah.
And you don't need, his legs aren't in the hover chair. He has detached his torso and put his torso on the hover chair.
Seems very inefficient, but.
So he pushes the button and his legs come out from under the ground. And he removes his body and puts it on the legs, and now he can go and fight Bob.
Well, in the meantime, it seems like he got an upgrade. He got, like, a new gadget thing, or maybe he's always
Bob?
Had it. Bob, yeah.
No, that's the same thing.
Same thing?
Glitch,
okay.
Yeah. It can just do anything.
Like a, basically, Ninja Star gear thing.
Yeah, it's like, thing. Yeah, it's his go-go gadget thing. It can turn into whatever he needs or whatever. Because we see later in the episode,
yeah.
Enzo gets it, and he like can create a flashlight
and a
jackhammer. Yeah. So he uses Glitch to take down the magnet and store it in a sealed compartment on his utility belt that will shield him and everybody else from the magnet.
He's like Batman. He's got a gadget for everything.
Yep. Got a plan, got a gadget. And Megabyte, now that he's got his legs, is doing his saber-tooth run where he's like antelope-ing up the thing, right? And he's about to attack Bob. Bob dodges, and so Megabyte's stuck on the side of the tower, and Bob flies off.
He shrunk, though. Like, it looked like he, like...
Megabyte did?
No, Bob. It looked like he, like, used his...
Glitch
to shrink, and that's why he jumped right over him. Then he grew back up to size.
I thought he just went down lower.
I don't know. It looked like he shrunk.
Okay, maybe he did.
I don't know.
No. So Bob flies off, and now it's happy times at the diner.
Mm-hmm.
And Enzo comes and tackles him again.
Again.
Yep. And he's super excited. He's like, man, Bob, that was alphanumeric with your awesome fight with Megabyte. And they're all hanging out, having a good time. And here we see they're doing some more of that first-person camera angles. With Cecil,
the
waiter at the, because he's looking at each booth and seeing if it's available or not. And it's just a very long and drawn out sequence.
Yeah, and there's plenty of tables open, but for whatever reason, he selects go to the bar.
Wait
at the bar,
and like the proper responses come up, and he picks one, and it's wait at the bar.
Yeah,
and it's a long drawn out sequence because once again, I think they're really trying to show off. Hey, this is what we can do. With CGI, you know, we can do these kind of camera moves that you can't do in 2D traditional animation.
Gotcha.
So, yep.
There you go.
And so he gets there, and they're hanging out. The jokes are a-flying in this episode.
She pulls out his chair, like they're in junior high, and he pulls out the chair out from under Bob.
Yep, and he falls down. And then he orders a drink. And the drink comes out of the automated drink maker, and the drink has sunglasses on.
It's on like a speedway racer track.
It races around the diner, lands on the floor, and then runs out the door because it's fast food.
Yep.
It's Dodge Diner, the fastest food in mainframe.
So literally you have to catch your drink.
Yeah, I guess so. And it it needed sunglasses to show that it was fast food. So then Enzo is really excited about everything, and so Bob lets him play with his tool, the glitch. And he's like, make a hammer, make a flashlight, make a jackhammer, and then he makes a jackhammer and
shakes the whole restaurant.
Yeah, shakes the whole restaurant, which causes the magnet to fall down and open up the little sealed container it was in, opens up. And the magnet flies and attaches itself to Dot's head, which causes her to horribly disfigure.
Right.
And get, like, partially erased.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bob uses Glitch to reclaim the magnet. But now Dot is like permanently messed up.
Yeah, she keeps like spazzing out. Like she goes in and out of, or like repeats herself, or
yeah,
goes out of order of what she's trying to say.
Using so really glitchy dialogue.
Yeah, so they can't really understand what they're saying. So then Bob's like, "I'll save you."
Yeah, and I like the what they're doing here, because in what they're doing with how she looks glitching is they're part of what they're doing is they're making her skin transparent.
Mm.
So you can see the eye and mouth controls inside her model, you know, which okay. Nowadays you couldn't get away with that because people know too much about CGI. Back then people were like, oh, it's just a cool special effect. Well, no, it's just right. A really easy special effect. We're just causing her skin to go transparent. So it looks really bad.
Right.
But you're just seeing the mechanics of how we animate her underneath it. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. And so, yeah, like you said, Bob is going off to, he's like, doesn't anybody know how to reverse this thing? Or
he's like, calm down, everyone. And then he's like,
ah! Yeah. And nobody knows except for maybe Fong.
Mm-hmm. The Pong guy.
Yes. And I didn't remember this. I thought it was just a one-time joke. But no, apparently every time you go see Fong to get advice, you must beat him in Pong.
And he doesn't just beat him, he like shoots it back into his head.
Well, yeah, because Bob's like, this is not like a casual advice meeting. Like, this is an emergency. Someone's life is on the line, but you're making me play Pong.
Yep.
So he purposefully hits the Pong into Fong's head.
He's like, a lot of backspin.
Apparently. Impressive backspin, my son. And apparently, there is a man inside the Pong.
Did not call that.
The Pong Puck. He comes out, he's like, you're telling me. Why is there a man inside the Pong?
I don't know. It looks like a little spaceship. Yeah. There's a guy inside.
Yeah. But the Pong doesn't need to be controlled.
Right.
Because they're hitting it. So why is there a man inside?
Really highlighting the backspin, I guess. I don't know, because they're so dizzy. There's no idea.
There's so many jokes in this episode. So Fong finally gives him the advice. He's like, basically spits out a bunch of techno-mumbo-jumbo where the magnet has accelerated her code or whatever, and mm-hmm. it'll keep accelerating until she is erased or right. deletes. And so he's like, basically to fix this, you just needed to get her some really, really slow food.
Which is level 31, which is apparently bad.
It's in the underworld. It's a bad, yeah, I guess it's a bad part of town. So he's like, all right. So he goes to Al's Diner. Well, he goes back to the diner and finds out that he needs to go to Al's Diner from Dot and Enzo.
Right.
And then he goes to Al's Diner. And apparently when he's taking too long to leave Fong's house or Fong's place, he's saying, get going. You don't have all second. Which tells me like a second.
Right.
Is like the equivalent of a day.
Right.
For these people. So now we're getting some more rules
mm-hmm.
for the universe.
Right.
So that answers some of our questions a little bit from our previous episode.
Yeah, where, debate of what kind of timekeeping.
Yeah. Because obviously it wasn't 30 seconds
right.
on that mask timer.
Mm-hmm.
It was 30 something else's.
So whatever that is.
Yeah. Well, so this we'll is, this, John, is a classic episode because it introduces us to Al's Diner. And Al's Diner has two characters in it that run it. One is the guy at the front, the cashier, I guess you'd call him. And one is Al. Who we never see. And he apparently makes the slowest food in all of Mainframe. And I think it's partially because he can't hear anything that's being said to him.
Hmm. That could be. Yes. And Bob's like, I need slow food to go fast. And then they're laughing about that, right. Of course.
And
the irony.
Here in the diner, we do see that there are more sprites in Mainframe. It's not just Bob, Dot, and Enzo. There right. are more humanoid-looking sprites. There's binomes also, the little zeros and one guys.
Yep.
But then there's also numbers. the numbers are people.
Why is seven so dangerous? Because 7, 8, 9.
That's right. Everybody is scared of number 7 because 7, 8, 9. Yeah, oh. The jokes. They're flying. And the number 8 is there also.
Right.
Right. And Bob tries to buy number 8's food off of him because mm-hmm. the food prep is taking too long. Please give me your food. He's like, are you kidding? I've been waiting for this food since I was 4.
So if you age, you get a higher number, I guess.
So. So, yeah, the jokes, and they're coming.
It's like taking order like 4,327 or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's Bob's number for his order.
Then
yeah.
It's like calling number 3.
Yeah.
Like, what?
So they are not exaggerating that it is slow food. And also, when Bob continues to press the issue, he's like, I need this food. It's an emergency.
Right.
The guy gives a bunch of excuses. He's like, I got to feed everybody in here. And also, there's a huge takeout order from one of my business partners.
Who, yeah, no spoilers, but that makes more sense.
It's a complete throwaway line.
Right.
But then later, if you've seen it before, you know what they're talking about.
Right.
So, okay. So then Megabyte sends Hack and Slash to get Bob.
Yep.
To bring him to me. And so Hack and Slash show up inside the diner, and here's how we find out. Apparently, this diner is also paying Megabyte protection money.
Right.
Because they've been here before, and he's like, we already paid you this month or
whatever.
Don't
ransack it.
Yeah. And Megabyte shows up in a vid window, and he's like, have you seen this sprite, which is Bob? And Bob's hiding behind the counter. He's like, hey, I will get rid of these guys if you give me food.
He's like, okay.
And so apparently he has food ready.
Just in case.
Yeah. So I don't know what is taking so long. So he gives Bob the food, and Bob runs out of there on his bike. He flies through the vid window, breaking it into pieces, and Hack and Slash follow him, and they're on their little hovercraft.
Tank things,
yeah. And as they're in pursuit,
here comes a game.
Yep, absolutely. You can't not have a game. So warning, incoming game. The game is coming, and Bob's trying to lose him. So he opens up a chat window with Hack and Slash, and pops up, and they stop to look at him and talk to him and stuff. And he's on his way to the game, trying to get under it before it lands.
Yep.
And he says to them, "So you're not going to catch me?" And they're like, "Why do you say that?" And he's like, "'Cause you stopped."
Exactly.
So, and it worked. They did stop. So they're continuing to chase him. He makes it underneath it. The game drops all the way down. They're trying to make it. We're going to make it. And Megabyte's watching him. He's like, they're not going to make it.
And then, bam, yeah. They hit the game and disintegrate.
Yes. But apparently they're okay. They're not dead.
Yeah, cleanup crew. So the cleanup crew can, like, put them back together.
Well, and I get, they're like robot-y people.
Right.
So, like, they are unique beings inside this computer world. This is from observation.
Right.
So really, they can be reassembled somehow, unlike other things, other people,
right,
other living organisms inside your computer.
Yep.
And, all right, so Bob's in the game, and the game is called, hold on, because they actually give this one a name, because Bob has played it.
Okay. That's right.
And he says it is Castles and Knights.
Yep, and he's dressed as a golden knight.
Yeah, he reboots as a golden knight, yep. And the user is the White Knight in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the castle off in the distance, and Dot's voice is coming from the castle. And so Bob's like, oh, man, I got to go save her. And he goes into the barn and comes out with a dragon.
Natural place to keep your dragon.
Yes, a flying dragon. He's flying towards the castle. The user jumps on the back of his dragon. Bob knocks him off. And then the user's dragon just shows up and saves him. What button did he have to press for that? You know, because to me, like, this is like Halo,
right? You gotta find your vehicle,
right? The dragons are like the warthogs or whatever. You gotta go find it. You gotta press the button to get in it.
Yep.
But this dragon just comes and saves the user. So he must be using cheat codes or.
And apparently, there's people inside of your dragon. It's like Team Rocket. Like,
well,
like,
yeah,
there's things powering your machine. Dragon.
Yeah, they're Team Rocket's in a submarine, but they're having to use pedal power to work it.
Thank you.
Yes. So there's a guy inside your Pong,
mm-hmm.
and there's guys inside your dragon.
So,
and,
of course, it's the slow guys.
Yeah.
Al and the other guy.
Apparently, Bob is not flying the dragon. The diner guy's flying the dragon, and Al is working on the fire breath.
What?
Yeah. So. I don't know how all this works, but we do get what could be, and pretty sure is, the very first CGI dragon flight sequence.
With fireballs.
Yes. Followed, famously, by the flight sequence from How to Train Your Dragon. So,
oh. 20 years later.
There could be more in between, but right. None that I'm recalling.
15 years later, wow.
Yeah. So
how far we've come.
Indeed, indeed. And so, yeah, there's a big fight scene with them flying the dragons and things and whatever. So then Bob leaves the dragon, goes through the stained glass window into the castle, and so he's left Al and the other guy in the dragon to keep the user busy.
Right.
While he goes to save Dot. Because I guess saving the princess or whatever is your goal.
Objective. Yeah. Yeah.
And if you get to the goal, you're going to win the game.
Yep.
All right. So he's going to get there first. So he gets in there. He finds a sword, which is shoved through a skeleton, pulls the sword out, and you got to know.
You're not supposed to do that, but of course he does it.
The skeleton's coming alive.
Yep.
So he comes alive, and the gates shut on the door, just like in Legend of Zelda.
Zelda, yes.
Yes.
Okay,
so you know it. This is a mini-boss.
Yep.
So, and this skeleton, by the way, is like a fully rendered anatomically correct skeleton.
Right.
And it's even got like the grooves and stuff from the skull. So
a human skeleton, yeah. not a other skeleton. It's the skeleton.
Right. So I don't know if they rendered this themselves or they pulled this from like an anatomy software and just decided to animate it. Because it's much more detailed than any other thing in this show.
Right. I didn't think about that. I was too warped up in the Zelda reference going on.
Yeah, yeah.
The mini boss.
So he's fighting the skeleton. And then the skeleton, you think he's doing like the Matrix finger summons, you know, right. where he's like, bring it on. But instead, it's opening up a chasm.
With spikes and like needles and just
yes.
a big drop.
So he's going to drop Bob off of there. And Bob does the cool thing where he pretends to drop, but he grabs the ledge with his fingers, right?
Right.
And so I'm thinking, oh, this is a great opportunity for him to come back up somehow and do a sweet finishing sword move.
Like. Episode one,
right?
Everyone
yeah,
can know Darth Maul.
Exactly, but no, no. Bob shoots a video window into the skeleton's rib cage, and he says, "Use the jumbo icons, or whatever." And the video window maximizes inside the skeleton and breaks him into a million pieces.
Do not see that coming.
Yeah.
It's very creative.
So yeah, there you go. So then Bob's going up the tower, and we save on rendering an animation by showing the outside of the tower.
Right, and the camera is trying to follow you as you're going up.
The outside of the tower. So it's like going left, right. And yeah, we don't have to animate stairs now. And
right.
We don't have to animate Bob going upstairs.
Nope.
No, we're just, yeah. We already have the castle. We'll just animate the camera around that. And so then Bob finally gets to the top. He's like, Dot, I'm here. I'll save you.
And
Dot is not the princess. Enzo is the princess, and he's using a megaphone, which makes his voice sound like Dot.
Yep. It happened. And he's like, why aren't you tackling me? And then, like, his dress, he's wearing a full princess costume,
yeah.
And then the dress opens up, and he's, like, in some sort of harness.
No, his feet can't touch the ground. Because the dress is, like...
Too tall.
Yeah, it's stiff.
Right.
So his legs aren't touching the ground, so he's trapped inside this dress, and he can't move. And... So he's like, where's Dot? And then the white knight, the user, crashes through the window, but he's fighting another knight, and that knight is Dot. And she is fine.
Yeah.
She is no longer glitched out or anything.
And he's got a mace.
Oh, yeah, the user. Yes,
yeah.
He has a mace. And it's a freaking crazy mace.
Right.
Because...
It breaks his sword.
Yeah, like he taps Bob's sword, and the sword breaks in half. Right? So Dot and him team up, and they're fighting the White Knight, and they figure out, hey, the White Knight has got a special icon. Like a certain weak spot on him that if you hit it, it'll hurt him. Just like in
Zelda.
Legend of Zelda.
Exactly.
There's always going to be they're part of the boss's body that has a different color.
Yep.
Or a convenient stick out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of somewhere that they're you got to hit. But here's the thing. The user is not a boss.
Right.
Usually you just hit the user anywhere.
Yep.
Or literally in Mario, you touch one pixel of anywhere on Mario's body and he's dead. Like
yep.
One hit kill. But no, this user got to hit him in the weak spot. So they're hitting him. He's almost dead. He's about to kill Dot, though. And Bob... pushes her out of the way, leaving room open for Enzo to throw his megaphone at the spot, which obliterates the user.
Finishes them off.
Yes, and they actually win a game this time.
Yep.
It's not some crazy black hole vortex of death. It's not some virus-infected mishap thing. They actually beat the user. He gets a game over. That's what he's seeing on his screen. Game yep. over. And apparently decided to quit. So the game leaves. Everybody's fine. We win.
And then he's like, how are you, like, fine? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And then she spills the beans that she, in fact, is business partners with Al's Diner. And she was the carryout order that
was holding up Bob. Yeah. And apparently she tried to tell him this when she was glitching out, but no one could understand what she was saying.
Right.
Yeah, so... Yep. And, but then they turn their backs for 2 seconds, and then they turn back around, and Megabyte is there, and he has Enzo by the throat, and he's like, Bob, give me back my magnet. I worked really hard to get this magnet, and you better give it back soon.
And Hagen slash her back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, because the cleanup crew came right. and fixed them while the game was happening, right? And I guess they just waited outside the game
yep.
for their moment to strike. And so Bob's like, hey, you want the magnet? Here's the magnet, and he throws it back at Megabyte, and it hits Megabyte in the head, and he's glitching out the same way Dot was, and he falls off the highway or whatever down into the depths of.
Yep.
And so Hack and Slash are like, oh, well, go save him. So they jump off the edge, too, and so they're falling, and they're like, you know, moments like this, I feel really close to you, and I just really want to tell you, it's like, what do you want to tell me? There's no time.
Too late.
Yeah. They bust again. So.
And they had some dialogue before, too, kind of like that, where they were, like, debating on each other's name.
We are Hack and Slash. We, you know us, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah. So they're kind of funny.
And then that's before they disintegrated the yeah. other time, too. So
they're not going to make it.
Comic relief.
So if Hack and Slash. I don't think we see them break into a million pieces this time. No. So.
Or Megabyte. You just, like, assume that he's, like.
Well, we assume, well, Megabyte, he's got the thing. So unless he gets the slow food, he's toast, right? So Bob, in theory, murdered this man.
Right.
But
they just...
He's a virus.
They tossed out the slow food. Apparently used slow food.
Ew.
And, but maybe he tossed it out over the edge and somehow Megabyte got it. I don't know.
Who knows? Because we assume Megabyte will be back.
Right.
Right. So either Hack and Slash survived the fall and took him to Al's Diner and he got the food. Or he found the food some other way. Yep. So, yeah. And that's the episode. And then they say, well, Dot, is there anything in Mainframe you don't own? She's like, I don't know.
Who's asking?
Yeah. So, there it is. So, what'd you think?
Honestly, like, it went by really fast. Like, it was very enjoyable. Felt like a video game. So many video game references. It was great. That hadn't been made yet, so maybe they... Zelda stole it from
them. There's more to come.
Okay.
There's more.
All right.
Well, when did Ocarina of Time come out? I think that it was after I was in school. So it must have been...
Early 2000s?
No. That came out in the 90s.
Oh, really?
It was like either 96 or 7, I think. John's looking it up. But yeah, so those that's a classic...
When was Zelda Ocarina of Time released?
Here we go. We're asking the computer.
November 21st. Here's a summary from Nintendo.
Wow.
Thank you, Siri.
Of 1998.
1998, okay. November 21st.
It's in Japan, apparently.
Am I right?
1998. So, 6 years after this.
Yeah. So, we're going to...
Classic game.
This is a classic episode. It had Al in it. It's super fun. So, that's it. We're going to keep watching them. If you would like to... be a part of the conversation. Please send us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to talk about your feedback on the show. And once again, you can find Reboot to Watch It Yourself on iTunes or at ShoutFactoryTV.com. Hey, and did you notice the audio distortion this time? Because there was audio distortion again in this episode.
I didn't notice it.
It was horrible at the beginning.
Okay.
So this is the iTunes copy we're watching, so I'm going to go... For next episode, I'll have the information.
Okay.
But I'm going to go check it out on Shout Factory and see if that same audio distortion is there.
Okay.
Because either it's in all of them, because this is what they did when they transferred it to digital, or it's just the iTunes copy. So we'll see. And it was just these two episodes because it wasn't in the first...
Hmm.
Yeah, but it was really, really bad in the first 5 minutes or so.
Okay. Well, yeah. I guess I'm not observant enough.
Well... You know, and you've only heard it once the way it's supposed to be. So, right. You know, who knows? All right. We'll see you guys next time. I'm Evan David.
And I'm John Mitchell.
Adios. Alphanumeric.
Zaijian.
What was that?
That's goodbye in Chinese.
Oh. Nice.
Got to come up with a different goodbye.
Thanks for listening to the Welcome to Mainframe podcast, hosted by Evan David and John Mitchell. You've heard from us, now we'd love to hear from you. Drop us an email or voice message at welcometomainframe@gmail.com. Dare to venture out onto the web and visit our site at welcometomainframe.com. Welcome to Mainframe is a proud member of the Relevant to Your Interests podcast network.